Welcome to today's edition of the Author's Corner, brought to you by KNEO 91.7 FM, The Word, and I'm Roberta Foster. And today I welcome Jeff King to Author's Corner. He's written the book, The Whisper, Lessons of Renewal Whispered from the Prisons of the Persecuted. And he'll tell you more about how to find the book at the end of the program. Let me tell you a little bit about Jeff. For 20 plus years, he has been the president of International Christian Concern, the website persecution.org. He's traveled to 70 plus countries, and his inspiring stories, incredible experience, and passion for the persecuted make him an insightful and compelling Christian author and speaker. He's one of the world's leading experts on religious freedom and has been featured in most major media, including the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and many others. Jeff is also the author of a couple of other books, Islam Uncensored and Last Words of the Martyrs. And Jeff, it's a pleasure having you with us today.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
So the full title of the book, The Whisper, Lessons of Renewal Whispered from the Prisons of the Persecuted Church, is actually a 30-day devotional. Tell us more about this, its structure, and what does it cover?
Well, it's a 30-day devotional based on mostly stories around the persecuted, some other stories. The point is to, you know, when I was called into persecution ministry, I mean, it was a miraculous dream I had, and it was the Lord's work. And right after I landed, he kept whispering to me to learn the lessons of the persecuted and the martyrs and to shout them to the world. It wasn't for me. It was to shout them to the world. They had tremendous value. And so that's what I set out to do. It took me probably 10 years to understand what exactly they were teaching us. But so I put it all into stories. Instead of saying, here's lesson one or two or three, I put it into stories so people can tease it out and pray through it and try to understand, just as I did over time, to understand what they're teaching, and so it goes into the heart.
Well, how did you actually start that ministry to the persecuted? What is it that the Lord laid on your heart to get it all beginning?
Well, it existed prior to me. It was fairly small, but I had been, you know, I came from the world of banking. I was in corporate banking and then mortgage banking and, you know, made some money. And it's like, and, you know, one month I made twice what other people made in a year. And I was just like, I just don't care. This will never do it for me. I don't care how much I get. And I could see it. You know, I was already a believer. And so right after that, I got called into ministry. I clear as day, and the Lord directed me to Campus Crusade for Christ, and off I go. And I'm running around the world. And then at the end of that time, though, you have to raise your own financial support, and that started to run out. And so then I have this dream one night. So I've been at Crusade for 11 years. My support is dwindling away. And in this dream, I'm talking to an imaginary businessman on the phone. And I hang up, I go by his business, and his business is operated out of a home. And this home is like back from where I'm from. It's this Silver Spring, Maryland home from the 1940s. And I pull up, and all his workers are standing outside. And I say, hey, where's Bill? And they're like, Bill's gone. Well, where is he? This is all the dream. Well, where is he? No, he's gone. He's dead. He's not dead, I said. You know, this is a dream. Mm-hmm. He's not dead. I was just talking to him. Yes, he is. No, he's not. And then they get very agitated. And they say, I'm telling you, he's dead. He dropped dead. We're really scared. Do you want to run the business? So that's the dream. So it's no weirder than any other dream. And I wake up, and then 20 minutes later, I'm out in California for meetings from the East Coast, you know, and I look, and an old friend and supporter had called. So I call her back, you know, 20 minutes after the dream. And she says, Jeff, my husband and I are aware of this organization. Their founder just dropped dead, and all I can think is you're the guy that's supposed to run this thing. Are you interested?
Wow.
And I'm flabbergasted. I was like, oh, my gosh. And then it's kind of humorous because you can't call up the board and say, hey, guys, I just had the dream. I'm the one you're supposed to hire. So that's a whole nother story, but it was a laugher.
Well, actually, God does do things like that, because that's exactly how he called me into Christian radio. It's like God says, you're supposed to go to this little bitty place in Alaska and be the radio station staff. And I'm like, huh? And then I had to go tell the general manager of the radio station. Yeah, God called me to do this. So yeah. You aren't the only one, Jeff, that works that way.
There you go.
But it's exciting because then you know it's truly God.
Yeah, and you know, when you go through just in any kind of work, it doesn't matter if it's a calling, you're going to go through ups and downs, right?
Right.
And you went through plenty of troughs and a lot of hard, painful stuff, but it's like, I can't go anywhere. I have an assignment, so unless he gives me a different assignment, I've got to stick it out.
Right.
And yeah.
So tell us how your faith was encouraged, built, or maybe even transformed by learning about the persecuted.
So the Lord's giving me this assignment. Clear as day, he keeps whispering it to me, like a drumbeat, like a tapping on the shoulder over and over. Learn the lessons of the persecuted. You know, he's not saying this literally, but it's a very clear message. You know, listen, learn, shout, if I had to sum it up.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, what is it? And so not too long after I start, I go to China, and I asked for a meeting with pastors that had been in prison for a long time. I mean, serious persecution, right? And I have a secret meeting with these guys for a couple hours. So I have, like, I don't know what it was, maybe it was six pastors, men and women. And what a gift. Oh, my gosh. I spent an afternoon with them, and it had to be very secret. They all would have been gone back to prison for duration, for the rest of their lives, if they'd been discovered. So here's a couple things they told me. This is over a couple hours, and it's just the highlights. So first of all, I say, tell me about persecution. And they say, persecution is a gift. And I'm like, I'm from the big city, and I'm like, okay. And I'm like, is this good marketing? What are they doing here? And they say, it's not a gift you'd ever want. It's not a gift you'd ever give, but it's a gift because it purifies the church. It keeps us pure.
Mm-hmm.
And you could unpack that one, and I did for the next 10 years. And I say, what would the church be without persecution?
Mm-hmm.
Again, these are the highlights out of hours of talking. What would the church be like without persecution? They said it'd be a mile wide and an inch deep, the American phrase. They didn't use that phrase, but that's what they said. And they said, you'd have people running around from church to church that are good speakers, good communicators, but they don't have an anointing. They don't understand the power of the Lord. They haven't been picked by him. They're just good speakers. And I looked at it, I was like, what are they doing? Are they schooling me? And I said, they must know about the United States, and they're messaging to me. And so I just asked them, I said, do you know anything about the American church? They said, no. I mean, these guys have spent decades in prison. And they're just simple rural pastors. They don't know anything. So they looked at me quizzically, and they're like, no. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then here's the big one. I said, what's your biggest worry? And they said, our biggest worry is that the guys coming up after us, the pastors coming up after us that we're training, haven't been hunted and tortured and imprisoned and murdered like we were.
Mm-hmm.
That's our biggest worry. Oh, my God. Gosh, and that just rattled around my brain. Those things just rattled around my brain for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm continually being confronted with stories of absolute horror of what happens to Christians. You know, the worst of humanity happening, doing things to each other, in the name of persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to understand, and honestly, I kept asking myself, why did the Lord choose persecution for me? Because I'm an evangelist at heart. I'm a guy that wants to call people to revival.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why, Lord? Why? That just doesn't make any sense. And people, too much of the church doesn't care about persecution because it's kind of like I'm coming to them and saying, I can give you bloodshed and murder and rape every week. How about that?
Mm.
And people are like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But then I saw it. It's like persecution is deep suffering, and we're all experiencing deep suffering. We all go to prison. Our prisons are called depression. Bankruptcy, anxiety, marriage, relational problems, you know, meaninglessness. These are all prisons. These are universal problems. And so I saw the great message of the Lord. It's like the suffering that we all go through is not a destination, but it's a door to transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to walk through it to get to where we can never get on our own.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to pause here for just a moment to remind the listeners that I'm talking with Jeff King regarding his book, The Whisper, Lessons of Renewal, Whispered from the Prisons of the Persecuted. And you are listening to Author's Corner, and I'm Roberta Foster. And Jeff, you've been talking to us about the value of persecution, but and how we as American Christians don't typically see the persecution like in other places where it's jail time, beatings, and things like that. But we still learn through the difficulties that we face in life. But persecution itself is a different animal, so to speak. There is value in being persecuted because we see the Chinese church being just exploding and different places where a hardship actually causes people to draw closer to God and to then be willing to boldly proclaim the goodness of God to others, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and the only thing I'd say is, as you know, it's landed here. The problem has landed here. We're still in the early stages.
Okay.
Right? And so what we're seeing is people being sued, being fired.
Okay, yeah.
So all those cases where you see, you know, I'm the bakery owner, and he doesn't want to bake a cake for a same-sex couple. He says, I don't hate you, but I just can't approve of this. And he gets sued, or people get canceled or getting fired. And we keep thinking, by the way, that it's out there. It's the government. It's the culture. So I'm in discussions with one of the biggest ministries out there, and one of their people has been with them probably 15, 20 years. He just got fired because he would not use pronouns the way they wanted. Mm-hmm. This is a gospel organization, and it's, the rot has gone all the way down. Mm-hmm. And I won't say more because there's stuff that's going to come out on this, but it's here. And again, we're in the early stages, but we are in a very warm bath, and there's all these bubbles coming up around us, and I think you get the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the frog in the kettle.
Mm-hmm.
And so people need to wake up. They need to understand what's going on. It's one thing to say, yes, it goes on over there, and I should care.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to understand. Listen, overseas, what we're seeing here is the same thing that happens overseas with persecution. And here's how it works. So the dictator, the despot, says, we have religious freedom to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, internally, what they'll say is that means you can stay in your little apartment, and as long as you don't share your faith with anyone, as long as you don't come out in the public square, you don't share your faith, you don't spread bottles, you don't do anything, keep it all upstairs, you're fine. We have religious freedom. Now, that's, people just need to understand, that's what's being pushed here.
True.
And people think it's completely legitimate. People on the other side, whatever that side is, that haters of Christianity, they think that's completely legitimate. But that's what's going on.
That is well said, so that we don't be totally surprised, I guess I should say, about the fact that we're going to be facing persecution in a different way, but it is going to be here. And so how do you hope that your devotional is going to help people prepare for that?
When you look out at all the problems out there, and many people approach this thing politically, and there's definite political answers and lessons. But for me, I want to go a step down and say, listen, what the Lord is trying to do in your life, and I want to talk to people who are suffering, who have been through suffering, or suffering is coming, and that's everybody. And if you've been around, you know that, everybody. And I just want to say that the suffering is not a destination. It's a door of transformation that he wants you to walk through. And to get to a place you could never get to on your own, and here's the secret. Here's almost how you can end the suffering, not always, but very often. And I learned this among the persecuted. Whatever your suffering is, whatever your prison cell is, whatever particular stripe, I would urge you to reach out from inside your cell and take the bars to that cage, and you close it shut and lock yourself in, and you say to the Father, I will stay here as long as you want. If this is an assignment from you, that's the only question. If this is an assignment from you, I will stay here as long as you want. My life is yours. Everything I have is yours. This is what the persecuted deal with all the time. And once you come to that place in your heart where it's truly a song to the Lord, that's usually when your trial ends and you're back to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing, but that's one of the key lessons of that the persecuted teaches.
Okay. Well, I'm talking with Jeff King about his book, The Whisper, Lessons of Renewal, Whispered from the Prisons of the Persecuted. And so, Jeff, how can people find out more about this book and the International Christian Concern?
Well, you can get it. There's a bookstore out there. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's called Amazon. They sell it on Amazon. And now the other thing is, though, but you can go to persecution.org and sign up for our magazine on persecution. It's free, and it's truly a magazine about persecution. Now, here's the last thing, and I have not shared this publicly, so your broadcast is the first. If they go to persecution.org/whisper, they can sign up for a free copy.
Okay. Well, that's a good way of getting the book out there.
There you go.
All right.
Well, it's not about making money.
Yeah.
It's about the message.
But I also see that on the front cover that 100% of profits do support the families of martyrs. So if somebody wants to help out in that way, they can find out more about that on your website, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So the book today is The Whisper, Lessons of Renewal Whispered from the Prisons of the Persecuted. I've been talking with Jeff King. And thank you so much for providing us a copy of the book today, Jeff, and for speaking to our listeners.
So wonderful to be with you.
And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you missed any part of today's interview or would like to hear it again, you can find it on your favorite podcast platform or through kneo.org. This is Roberta Foster on the Author's Corner. Join us again next time.